From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
Greetings to you all back in our podcast studio, me back from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. Welcome to the podcast, Dale Carter, along with Kurt Wheeler here. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff today, touch a whole bunch of bases. But Kurt, first, tell them where they can get our podcast.
Well, you can find us wherever you get podcasts. That includes YouTube. If you're watching this on video, we have fantastic video assets, lots of clips and stuff that we play. Plus, you can see our beautiful faces. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Rumble, wherever you get podcasts. And then make sure to follow us on Facebook, which we're very active on, and then also on Instagram and Twitter. I haven't posted to the Twitter in a while.
Yeah.
I should probably do that.
I'm going to put in a plug for the video version just for the kicker alone today.
Yes.
It's definitely worth it. So if you're listening audio only, challenge yourself to go find the video so that and you can get all the way to the end. And trust me, it's going to be worth it. You'll laugh. I think you'll laugh.
Yes.
I hope you'll laugh.
We'll laugh at least.
Yeah.
So
we're going to laugh later. That's for sure. We also want to thank Bob Watson, our State Farm agent in Blue Springs, early believer in what we're doing here on this podcast. And more importantly, he'll take care of you with your insurance needs. 7th and Main in Blue Springs, 816-229-7878. That's auto, home, life, commercial insurance. Those boats are out on the lakes. Get them insured with State Farm, licensed in Missouri and Kansas. Surprisingly great rates at State Farm, and you don't give up the service. Bob and his team ready to help you. And just because his office is at 7th and Main in Blue Springs doesn't mean he can't take care of you. Call him today and get a quote, 816-229-7878. Today is the 79th anniversary of the D-Day invasion of France, the beginning of the end of the Nazi stranglehold in Europe. It's a big deal. When you look at the numbers of American and Allied forces who were killed and or wounded in that invasion, it was the largest invasion in the history of the world. It never happened before, and obviously it hasn't happened since. I take a lot of pride in it myself because my grandfather was in the 5th Engineers, and he was quite the hero, and a hero to me, you know, growing up. So Kurt's scrolling through some pictures there that you can see about the invasion coming out of those Higgins boats when that gate dropped. And if you really want to see something, the Tom Hanks movie about D-Day. Have you seen that,
Kurt? Saving Private Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that in the movie theater when it first came out, and I gripped the armrests of my chair and dug my fingernails in. That first 20-minute sequence that they show.
Yeah, yeah.
Just imagine 17, 18-year-old boys doing that.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine. And it's also, I mean, it really, obviously it's a movie. You know, it's probably exaggerated, or not necessarily exaggerated, but it's dramatized for a movie. But people have said that it's pretty realistic, that scene. People that were actually there and have firsthand knowledge of the actual event. But it just puts things into perspective because we have people now that are just so weak, you know, men in particular. We have weak men in our society, men that think that speech is violence. You know, if you say something that they don't like, that you're literally, you know, genociding them, you're committing violence against them. And we've just fallen so far in terms of the courage and you know, masculinity of a generation has just completely dropped off, and this is a great example.
Well, make no mistake that Adolf Hitler wanted to take over the world, and it would be a far different world if the United States hadn't joined forces with the UK and Russia coming in from the east as well. It would be a very different world if we hadn't done that. And to your point, the leadership that we had from FDR down to Dwight Eisenhower to General Patton, General Bradley. I mean, those were men who could inspire men to go out there and give of themselves. And we call that generation, my grandfather was part of it, the greatest generation. And we're losing them left and right. In fact, there are probably very few of them still alive. But we thank them for what they did for this country on the 79th anniversary of D-Day. Are we going to show some of my pictures from my D.C. trip?
Sure.
Because I was there for Memorial Day weekend, and we lucked into a situation because we were going to go to Arlington Cemetery on Memorial Day. I took that picture, by the way. That's my, we're showing this on the video, the background picture. Took that from the JFK gravesite at Arlington, shooting it across the Potomac and framing it in the trees. I thought that was kind of cool. It may be difficult to I don't want to scroll through 1,000 Harry pictures.
I got you. Keep talking. I'll pull up the others.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of baby Harry pictures in there. Yeah. So we went to Arlington on Memorial Day, and that's from the Willard Library, basically steps from the White House. And I get up early, so I went to the parlor in the morning to read, and the pictures of the Lincoln family. And it's just amazing. You feel the history. It just drips with history. There's a Frederick Douglass portrait that hangs in there. There's Frederick Douglass. I mean, it just teems with history when you're in Washington, D.C. If you like American history, you got to be there. This is from the Smithsonian. That's part of the wall that was knocked down that ended the Cold War. That's part of the World Trade Center in New York. After 9/11, that's an old boat. That's the USS Philadelphia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Some signs of presidents, George Washington as a god.
I'm going backwards, by the way.
Yeah, you are. So this is John F. Kennedy's gravesite. And again, I want to talk about being at Arlington on Memorial Day, because I've never been there on Memorial Day. I've been there many, many times. And we just kind of lucked into it. By the way, that's Arlington House on the Hill. That is the home of Robert E. Lee. And if you know about American history, you know that when Lee joined Virginia because he couldn't take Lincoln's commission to run the Union Army, didn't want to fight against his own state, his home was confiscated, and they turned it into a national cemetery. Mm. So his mother, Robert E. Lee's mother, is a direct descendant of mine.
Oh, really?
Our direct ancestor. I'm descended from her. So I figure that's my ancestral home. So do I have a claim?
It looks pretty nice, man.
But
careful who you say that in front of, because, you know, Robert E. Lee is persona non grata now.
Yeah, so. I know. Well, his mother was okay. That's a picture of the Capitol from Arlington Cemetery. But we got there as, the president was speaking. I thought maybe he'll lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns. And not only that, but they do a big ceremony on Memorial Day, and we caught it. Joe Biden was there with the defense secretary, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. They were all there. That's the changing of the guard, which is something people like to see. There's a picture of the president, defense secretary, and chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And
this is Millie?
Yeah. And that's at the amphitheater at Arlington Cemetery. In the Navy, they were singing. There's Joe Biden's speech. Now, here's the only thing. Now, there was a great crowd there, and it was an awesome opportunity for him to hit it out of the park, right?
Yeah.
What?
Let me guess.
Okay.
He talked about white supremacy.
No. not quite that. He talked about his son three times.
Oh, yeah. That's
the
right.
One who died. I mean, he served. No question about it. He served. Yeah. But he died here of brain cancer. And, you know, we're all sorry about that. But behind the president are 400,000 American graves, people who made the ultimate sacrifice to keep us safe and free. That's where you hit it out of the park.
Right.
And I thought Lloyd Austin did a good job. I thought Millie did a good job as well in their speeches on Memorial Day.
Are these people like singing in front or something?
Yeah, and there's a band below as well.
Okay.
There's a picture of the vice president, first lady.
Dr. Jill Biden.
The second gentleman.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's just the podium, and that's the – so we don't have to go through all these pictures, but these are the important pictures. I mean, that's the row of stones that you see at Arlington from any angle.
I've been there as well. It's very overwhelming, the experience of being there. You know?
Yeah.
They do a good job of kind of making you understand the reverence of the place, you know, when you're there. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance, and it's very beautiful, very well maintained, and it's a nice place.
And we got there just in time for that ceremony. It's like, hey, you want to come in and watch the ceremony? Sure. And we had great seats for it, and it was awesome. I will tell you this, at the end of Biden's speech, there was a smattering of applause. I mean, it was Okay. Whereas, you know, a Ronald Reagan or a Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, yeah. I mean, it would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
But it was like, hey, the old guy got through it. Yeah, he talked about his kid three times, and he got most of the words right. So smattering of applause. Okay, a lot on the plate today. Let's jump ahead here. A deadly Memorial Day weekend in Kansas City. We're going to tie that to Pride Month. The debt ceiling deal is done. You'll hear from Congressman Mark Alford on why he voted no. And while I respect that tough vote, I've got some thoughts on how we can look at it maybe a little bit differently, and be interested to hear Kurt's thoughts on that as well. Two more Republicans join the crowded field. Former Vice President Mike Pence is going to run against his boss. Chris Christie is going to be getting in the race by the end of this day. I keep asking the question, and I'll ask the same question that Donald Trump is asking right now. Why?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. They have no shot.
No shot. None whatsoever.
And like, you know, there are other people that you could say that about, right? Like Vivek Ramaswamy, right. the guy. I mean, he has no shot of winning. But I think at least in his case, he's got kind of a different angle.
You and know, he's saying different things.
He's saying different things. Right. He's got a different angle. It's a fresh perspective. And he's new to politics, you know, so he's trying to really build a name for himself and probably get something out of it, you know, whether it be just more recognition or a cabinet position or something like that. It makes sense for him to run. But like Mike Pence, I mean, is anybody excited about Mike Pence? No, nobody's excited about Mike
Pence.
I mean,
I'm from Indiana and I'm not excited about Mike Pence.
Yeah.
All right. It makes you wonder, why are they doing that? And you made a good point, but we followed this kind of for a living here. And some of these people that are getting in, I don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, Iowa and New Hampshire are going to shake some of this out. And hopefully, you know, if these candidates don't get anything, you know, and Nikki Haley's another one. Will she still be in it by the South Carolina primary? Because Tim Scott is probably going to be that third position role behind Donald Trump and DeSantis.
Right.
So does she want to finish fourth in her home state?
That would not be a good. That's like a Kamala Harris move right there. Yeah, we have from Politico a full list as of 4 days ago. We have Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump, Nikki Haley, Mike Pence. Ted Cruz said he wasn't going to run.
Yeah, he's not getting in.
Ryan Binkley.
Who is that?
He's a Dallas area businessman and non-denominational pastor.
Okay. He doesn't have a shot.
Larry Elder has announced.
I know who that is.
Asa Hutchinson.
I know. Why Asa Hutchinson? Come on. He's not going to get above 1%.
Yeah. Perry Johnson.
No idea.
No clue. Vivek. We've talked about him. Mm-hmm. Tim Scott. Doug Bergman is a maybe. I don't know who that is. Chris Christie is a maybe.
Mm-hmm. No, Chris Christie's getting in today.
Oh, okay. Mike Rogers.
Yeah, I don't know who
you
that is.
You see how they have winning path, losing path? They should just take off the winning path part. Greg Abbott. Why is he in a wheelchair? Is he having problems?
Oh, no, he is in a wheelchair. He doesn't have the use of his legs.
Greg Abbott?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Christy Noem, Marco Rubio, and then we're getting into kind of the speculation here.
Yeah, yeah. So you got a long list of people that are looking at this. Yeah. And, you know, Donald Trump's licking his chops. You know, he said the other day that DeSantis is second right now. That's why he's attacking him so much. And probably he's going to be third or fourth at some point.
Yeah, well.
Third or fourth behind who?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But as we've talked about before, if it turns out like 2016 and there's like 18 candidates, they all come in, it plays in Donald Trump's favor.
Of course it does.
You know, the only real path forward for DeSantis, I think, is if it's narrowed down to just him and Trump on the issues, he can really hammer home, you know, the points that he's been making about the vaccine, about COVID in Florida, about the success that he's had as governor. If it's like 18 people, it splits the vote too much. You know, nobody's not going to vote for
Everybody's got their favorite in the primary.
Exactly. Nobody's not going to vote for Trump and vote for one of these other guys. But some people may not vote for DeSantis and vote for a Tim Scott or a Nikki Haley or a Mike Pence or a Vivek or some of these other people. It just dilutes the vote for DeSantis, and then Trump wins because he has the plurality of the base.
And he's got a very strong base. I saw a poll, I think it was yesterday, that he's over 50% of Republicans. And in this particular poll, they ask, okay, who is your second choice? And most of that 50-plus percent said their second choice was Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So you know, it's going to be a tough uphill climb for Ron DeSantis, despite having all these people in the race. My question to you is, let's say Trump wins the nomination and he wins the presidency again. Mm-hmm. Who's his running mate? How's he going to fill out his cabinet? Well, DeSantis can't be, because you can't have a president and vice president from the same state. I'm pretty sure that's in the Constitution.
Is Trump, I don't actually know this, I'm legitimately asking, is Trump considered from Florida since he lives there, or is he considered from New York?
He moved his legal residence to Florida. So right. I don't know, that's a constitutional question, but you're right, as a practical matter, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's Tim Scott.
Could be,
because you know, here's the thing, you know,
I mean, Tim Scott's like one of the only people that Trump hasn't shit on yet, so maybe he's waiting
exactly.
For that.
It's not going to be Pence, obviously. It's not going to be Chris Christie. They don't like each other anymore.
Yeah,
and you know, honestly, and who's going to fill out the cabinet? I mean, there's a lot of questions, because if you don't go and kiss the ring of Donald Trump, you're out. You're out of the circle.
Well, Vivek, you know, Vivek has been critical where it's been called for, and he's given props where it's called for, and I don't think Trump's gone after him yet. But I mean, the reason that Trump is not going after him is because he's not a threat. So maybe, you know, we'll have a Vivek vice presidency. That would be kind of interesting.
We're still not even into the full episode yet. We're gonna have the latest on Joey B, who, by the way, on my White House tour, did not greet me with ice cream.
Oh man,
Kansas City Chiefs were there yesterday.
I saw that.
I wonder if they got ice cream.
Maybe they did.
Andy Reid likes ice cream.
They gave Biden a Chiefs jersey.
With number 46. He's like, oh, what's number 46 mean?
Yeah, I mean, even in the speech that he gave, her the appearance, you know, there he was kind of wandering around. But here's the picture. And it kind of made me think, I think I've evolved a little bit on this. I used to think, well, like, if I was on a sports team and, like, back in Obama, you know, if Obama invited me to the White House, I wouldn't go, you know, because I'm standing up for whatever. But I think, I mean, it's just, it's the president, you know, you go
to the White House.
Yeah.
I loved every minute that I was in the White House on the White House tour.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And I mean, you know, you won the Super Bowl, the president invites you, it happens every year, you go. And it's the same thing for all the people that didn't want to go when Trump was president because he's a racist.
Ridiculous.
Or whatever. It was so dumb. So I think, you know, you go.
By the way, I'm the PA guy for the Chiefs. How come I didn't get a call? I'd have gone back.
You could have given Joey B's speech for him.
I really could have. I can read off a teleprompter. I'm pretty good at that. All right, we welcome in a brand new sponsor this week, my good friend Kirk Doris. His company is called Medicare Simplified KC, and it says it all right there, doesn't it? MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. That is the website. You know, a lot of folks are looking at Medicare coming up here pretty quick, Kurt. I know you're nowhere near it, but if you are 65, approaching 65, maybe you're going to work past 65, and you got a lot of questions. Kirk and his team can navigate these waters for you. Full-service Medicare insurance brokerage. They're at 3600 South Nolan Road in Independence. Here's their phone number. Write this down if you've got questions. They've got answers. And they're not going to charge you. They back the money out of the companies that they work with. 816-701-6661. 816-701-6661. If you can't come to them, they have in-home appointments available. They help people determine the most cost-effective ways to fill the holes of Medicare. Richard says, since being with this company for about 2 years now, Kirk has been nothing but responsive and quick, direct and accurate, as well as straight with all answers and requests. I mean, can you imagine? It's like all these parts and different kinds of Medicare.
Yeah, it's like doing your taxes. I mean, it's this whole bureaucracy
that's the government.
Just impossible to navigate. You have to have somebody help you out. And just to clarify, it's Kirk, not Kurt.
Right.
Do not contact me for help with your Medicare. I will not help.
All right. MedicareSimplifiedKC.com, Kirk Doris. We welcome you to Dale Carter's America. Thanks for believing in what we're doing here. A deadly Memorial Day weekend in Kansas City. And, you know, Kurt, it's, you know, typical around here. Sadly, it's typical around here that as the weather heats up, we have more of these murders in what I call the box here. And the box, if you looked at a Kansas City map, is I-70 to 435 south to Brush Creek over to 71 Highway and up. We had five dead in a 72-hour period. And the mayor, who also was with Joe Biden and the Chiefs yesterday, probably eating ice cream, I wonder if he made it into the West Wing to measure the drapes, because you know that the Pharaoh is not going to be content with being mayor of Kansas City, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He sees himself in that West Wing, I think. He sees himself as the second coming of Barack Obama, but he's got problems here in Kansas City. So he and the police chief, Stacey Graves, and Jean Peters Baker, our favorite prosecutor with her turnstile to put people back out on the street, they held a press conference with answers to this violence that continues in Kansas City.
Good morning. Is everybody ready? So as we all recognize, gun violence continues to plague Kansas City, and this past weekend was no different. We come together today to share a few distinct and clear messages. First, that all agencies in Kansas City are working together to address our gun violence challenges. The police department, our county prosecutors, led by Jackson County Prosecutor Jean Peters Baker, and the city of Kansas City. As we have for some time, we look at several principles on how we can fight violent crime: prevention, intervention, and enforcement. Over the Memorial Day weekend, not only did we have hardworking KCPD officers out investigating the crimes, talking to living victims, talking to witnesses, we also had violence prevention experts who were working as well, including from organizations such as Partners for Peace, Combat, Aim for Peace, and other community partners that are actively engaged and will continue to be engaged.
Can I just pause it there for a second?
Yeah, you could turn it off as far as I'm concerned.
What are violence prevention experts?
You know what he's going to talk about if we let the clip run for an hour and a half, because he likes to hear himself speak, is those are people who go to areas where they know that there are people who are potentially violent and let them know we're watching you.
Okay.
Yeah. So when they commit the crime, and by the way, he's talking about the five dead in a 72-hour period, it continues. I mean, I've got stories here from the last 3 days of people who have been killed. There was one yesterday at the Paseo Fast Stop in the 4500 block of the Paseo. Here's one from the day before. One person dead following a triple shooting inside a Kansas City business. Here's another one. Police identifying one of the homicide victims over the Memorial Day weekend, so I guess that falls into the count as well. I mean, you know, it's continuing, and it's black-on-black violence. And Stephen A. Smith,
yeah.
Did you hear what he said, man? He went off on black-on-black violence. We've got to start talking about this stuff. We're talking about it. There, conservative media is talking about it, but the mainstream press, the heritage press, however you want to couch it, they won't touch it with a 10-foot pole because it does not fit their narrative. But Stephen A. was like all over this thing.
Yeah, I have the clip here.
When we going to look at ourselves when it comes to black people being killed in the streets of America? I don't even want to get into what happened in Chicago, but I have no choice. This past Memorial Day weekend, from Friday to Monday, at least 53 people were shot, 11 fatally, according to police. If one black person was killed by the police, we'd raise holy hell, and in some cases, there'd be riots in the streets. When we gonna look at ourselves?
Yeah. That's a great question, and he's somebody with a national platform who happens to be black who can raise that dialogue up, but he is totally right. And Chicago, it's just – yet here's what we focus on. We focus on the Andrew Lester trial, okay? We know now that it's going to be sealed by the judge after threats and pretrial publicity. Nobody seems to care about the nearly daily black-on-black violence because it doesn't fit the narrative. It's not an old guy who might have been confused, just put his wife in a nursing home, he's scared to death, somebody is banging on his door, and he shoots first and asks questions later. I'm not condoning that. I think that's wrong. But look at all the money that's been raised for Ralph Jarl,
yeah,
who was wounded. He's going to be fine.
Yeah.
What about the black-on-black death that happens every day in this town, and you can magnify it in a city like Chicago?
Well, there's many ways to follow up on that. I mean, on the black-on-black crime thing, you know, every once in a while you'll have somebody like Stephen A. Smith speak up and say something, but nothing is ever done. And I'm convinced, you know, he may say that and he may believe it, but what is he doing about it? You know, like, or what is anybody doing about it? They're letting criminals out of jail. They're not enforcing the gun laws that we already have on the books. I mean, these places are hellholes, you
right,
know,
right.
And Kansas City is quickly falling into that category. What is being done about it? You can say all you want. You can say, we got to look at ourselves. We got to check ourselves, you know, but you haven't. Well, so what's
at
happening?
The ballot box, you got to make a different decision. I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. And that's what we're doing, at least in Kansas City and Jackson County. They keep reelecting these people.
Yeah.
You know, and Jean Peters Baker, God love her. I mean, you know. I don't think she's serious on violent crime.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm talking about is like people like Stephen A. Smith. I don't know him personally. I don't. I've seen some of his political stuff, and he seems to be a liberal. But I don't want to make any assumptions. But I would assume that he's going to say something like that, and then he's going to turn around and vote for Democrats.
He will. In fact, the other day he said something about somebody's got to run against Joe Biden because Joe Biden can't be president. So he made comments about that. And he says he voted for Biden last time, and he wants to vote for a Democrat, but he doesn't want to vote for Joe Biden.
Right. So, I mean—
So you think he's a bag of air, basically.
I think it's good that he's saying that. I think it's good to bring light to the issue, but the voting patterns— haven't changed. The policy hasn't changed. I mean, this trend of violence in the inner cities has been going on for decades and decades and decades, and nothing has been done about it. In fact, now we're making the problem worse by doing all the things that I mentioned, letting people out of jail, not enforcing gun laws, and more, you know, decreasing funding and resources for police in these areas. And They will bring up the issue occasionally, but then they don't want to support these things that will actually help fix the issue. So,
well, we talked a lot early on in the podcast about my simplified version of all this, and that is if you commit a crime with a gun, you go away for a very long time. There is no turnstile. And if you're convicted of murder with a gun, you go away, period, end of discussion, into a box for the rest of your life because you have given up your right to live in civil society. And, of course, the first thing they're going to say is, well, that might impact black people more than white people. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, if you've killed somebody with a gun, you need to go away.
Yeah, if it disproportionately affects a specific community, then that community should stop disproportionately doing it.
Well, and that's what's happening in Kansas City. And no one is raising hell about it, except us, it seems like.
Yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, the NAACP has a travel ban on Florida. I think we've talked about that. And I saw this. Gays apparently are fleeing the state of Florida, fearing for their lives. So my question is, if you're fleeing Florida, which I don't agree with, I mean, I've been to South Beach.
You're fleeing to Florida as quickly as you can.
I've been to Key West. I mean, you know, there are gay havens in Florida. And I'll just continue to say what I say. I could care less what you do in your personal life. And I think most people are like that. Most people
Miami
in Florida
is
are like that.
Miami is one of the gayest cities in America. It's like right behind San Francisco.
So, okay, San Francisco. You want to go there? An open sewer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, seriously. I mean, people are shitting on the sidewalk. It's an open sewer. And I saw a story about San Francisco that, like, of all these crimes, these smash and grabs that are happening in San Francisco, they know it's being done by, like, 300 people.
Yeah.
Now, how is that possible?
Yeah.
Because of the turnstile. They just keep going back out on the street.
Yep. Yeah. And I think there was we're getting off topic a little bit, but I think there was a story last week about Lululemon, the store that white women like. It's like, you know, they make yoga pants and shit like that.
I like yoga pants for on women
wearing them
on, no. on women, to be clear.
Oh man, I'm clipping that.
Okay, so San Francisco, we know, is an open sewer. You can't go there. Chicago and Kansas City, depending on where you are. And driving to work the other day, I was coming down Southwest Traffic Way, and I didn't see anything that correlated to this in the news, but a Kansas City Police Department van nearly rolled right over me trying to get down here to Westport. Mm. And then it was like I heard sirens, and I think I counted 15 police cars coming into Westport.
Yeah.
Lights and sirens. So that happens on a daily basis here in Kansas City. I just figured I'd see yellow tape when I got here.
Yeah.
But it wasn't up. Okay, so Kansas City, Chicago, those are New York, you know, that's its own problem. Maybe they might want to go to Iran.
Yeah.
What do they do with gay people in Iran?
Not good. Not good.
Yeah. Okay.
We didn't play I don't know if you wanted to watch this or not, but last week we talked a little bit about the NAACP travel advisory or whatever, but DeSantis had a pretty good response to it that we didn't watch. I don't know if you
want
to check it out real quick.
Governor, another acronym, the NAACP this week decided to issue a travel ban for minorities, to warning them don't come to the state because of some of your policies that you outlined right there. I did note that one of the board members on the NAACP board happens to reside in Florida and maybe more. What's your response to the NAACP for my audience?
This is such a stunt. It's a typical political farce. Not only does the president of the NAACP live in Florida, most of the board members have posted on social media pictures of them vacationing in Florida since I've been governor. So this is a typical political stunt. But I do think it's important to point out, in Florida, we don't divvy up by race. We treat everyone in a colorblind fashion. We do, though, happen to have more black-owned businesses than any state in the country. Our African-American students in K-12 perform better than all but a handful of states in terms of their black students because we have school choice, so parents can actually go to the school of their choice. If you're in Chicago or you're in Baltimore, these kids have a better chance of getting shot than getting a decent education. Yet I don't see the NAACP talking about Chicago or Baltimore. No, they're focused on Florida, where people of all races are having the opportunity to get ahead. So we don't bow down to any of those leftist tactics. We fight them back head on. And all I will tell you, people have been talking about boycotting Florida really since I've been governor, every time I do something. And yet we just finished the first quarter of this year, record tourism. We've never had so many people flooding into this state.
I love Florida. In fact, if y'all want to move out of Florida, you know, let me know where the house is because I might buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Florida's cool. It's a little aged, I guess, for me right now. And it's also expensive. I mean, that's the other thing.
Never snows there. Well, not maybe.
Yeah, I don't mind the snow.
Yeah.
I don't mind the snow. Right now, I just need land for cheap. That's my goal right now.
Well, that's not going to be Florida.
Yeah.
Okay, so where we draw the line, and Kurt, I know you agree with me, we draw the line on children, right? That's where we draw the line. And President Biden said this week that he will fight states in court over the new laws that are coming off that say, you know, you can't mutilate children, that's where we draw the line, that parents, you know, and now there's a new law that just passed out of New Mexico that said parents don't even need to be involved in this. Kids can go and they can get whatever they want, you know, their hormones. You want to cut off your tallywhacker, they'll let you do that. You want to add something, you want to get some boobs or whatever, they'll let you do that. We draw the line at the mutilation of children, and I put that up on Facebook. And then this person, Heather, brought up something I'd never heard before. Maybe you have because you're more worldly than I am. Intersex kids. Had you ever heard that term?
Nope.
Because I think she and I were talking about two different things. I'm talking about the fact that if your child is somewhat confused about what they are, you know, as a parent, you kind of guide them and coach them and listen to them and love them. But if they want to make something that's going to be a permanent change to their body, they need to wait until they're adults, because what we're seeing is, in some cases, some of these kids who have done these things that are irreversible are coming back after the fact and saying, God, I don't know what the hell I was thinking. Well, it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah, I found the comment. I mean, I don't know.
She's talking about surgeries that happen just after babies are born, that something's not right. I don't think we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about kids in high school. And what you get from people on the other side is, well, they might kill themselves. You know, I've had four teenagers, about to have a fifth with my stepson, okay? I've heard drama.
Yeah.
I've heard girl drama. Oh, my God, it's the end of the world as I know it. It's not the end of the world. Mm. And if you're a good parent and you're listening to your kids and you're talking to them and you're loving them, it wouldn't get to that level because you would see the signs.
Yeah, 100%. And you're right. We are talking about different things here. I mean, there is legitimately such a thing as gender dysphoria. It's a DSM, you know, diagnosed condition that is real and does really exist. But that's not the same as this trend now that's happening where people can just claim, you know, whatever gender they want. Intersex is a real thing. It's a condition when somebody's born, they have multiple genitalia or some combination thereof. It is abnormal. It is an abnormal condition. It's something went wrong in order for that dysphoric condition to crop up. And it happens sometimes. It's a very small minority of the population, but it does happen.
Yeah.
That's not the same. We're not talking about the same thing. If we're talking about a legitimate medical condition, then yeah, we should seek treatment for that, and we should seek to help people.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't be pushing this stuff on kids, obviously.
All right. Well, we agree on that. Maybe if it's a surgery question, we should ask Dr. Mark Ta-Ermina, because he is our doctor here on the big program from Midwest GI Health in Lee's Summit, serving all of Jackson County, Eastern Jackson County, for GI services. Mainly they do colonoscopies and upper examinations. This is from December of last year. As of then, he had a new female physician, Dr. Joan, I think it's Chandra. Chandra. Anyway, so if you would prefer to have a female doctor, is that her?
Yep. Yeah.
If you'd prefer to have a female doctor, I mean, you know, she'll take care of you as well. The main focus that they have there is the promotion that colon cancer screening awareness can save your life. If you're 45 or over and you haven't done it yet, get it done. Super fan of this podcast, Mark Zarda. He's on the board. He's going to go and see the folks at Midwest GI Health and Wellness.
Because, and we're going to keep calling him out until he does.
He needs to. Well, he's got it scheduled.
Oh, nice.
Maybe we could do it live. Let's talk to Dr. Ta-Ermina and see if we can't go in there. And probably he won't let us do that.
We'll have him Skype in.
It's yeah. Okay. My friend Chad Taylor. You've met Chad.
Yep.
Because of his family issues, he's had to have several colonoscopies, and he just got another one this past week, and they found some polyps. They send him off. Everything's fine. Come back in 5 years. You get polyps, you come back in 5 years. You don't, you come back in 10 years. And Dr. Mark Ta-Ermina will definitely take care of you. Midwest GI Health and Wellness in Lee's Summit, 816-836-2200. And I'm not sure why we put these two things together, but Funhouse Pizza is in two locations. Maybe they should be reversed. Funhouse Pizza, then you get your colonoscopy. Yeah. I don't know. That's what Zarda did. He had a huge pizza, and then I shamed him into scheduling his colonoscopy. All right. Funhouse Pizza's got two locations. They're in Lee's Summit on 50 Highway. They're in Blue Springs on 7 Highway. We just did our live event at Lee's Summit for the year, and this fall we'll be back in Blue Springs. Watch your watch Facebook and everything else that we do with the podcast to figure that out. Jim Dingman, a fantastic American, a Marine, and he runs a tight ship there. But it's still fun. They got great pizza, cold drinks. It's a fun place for a birthday party or any other gathering. You know, we just came through graduation season. But if you're going to gather the troops, maybe have a family reunion or whatever, do it at Funhouse Pizza in Lee's Summit and Blue Springs. We appreciate him being a part of our podcast. Okay, on to the debt ceiling. The Fiscal Responsibility Act of 2023 is what it's called. Mark Alford, a very dear friend of mine, represents me in the Congress in the 4th District in Missouri. And, you know, Mark went the other way on this. He voted against his speaker, which is tough for a freshman congressman to do. Let me tell you that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because you want to do some things in Washington. It's not good to get crossways with the Speaker of the House. But I thought Mark threaded the needle like an expert. We've got a 5-minute clip of him explaining this. Now, you can see his pretty face because we saw him on Fox 4 all those years. Or you can just listen to the audio only. You'll get the same kind of reaction here from Mark Alford from his office in Washington, D.C.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mark Alford with this week's Capitol Recap. Well, this week we've been focusing on one thing and one thing only here in D.C., a bill that would raise the debt ceiling while making some cuts to the president's budget and other concessions negotiated by Speaker Kevin McCarthy and his team. To tell you the truth, folks, I didn't sleep much this week. This was a very difficult decision to make, but tonight, after careful thought, deliberation, consultation with constituents, and lots of prayer, I voted no on the Fiscal Responsibility Act. While I applaud the efforts of Kevin McCarthy throughout this negotiation process, I cannot, in good faith, support adding $4 trillion in debt. My other big concern is the defense spending. It's not enough. China is building its military at a much faster pace than we are. This legislation will only exacerbate that deficit. We cannot be expected to properly deter the pacing threat from communist China if we are capping military spending at 1% growth in fiscal year 2025. When you factor in inflation, it's really a cut. Check out this graphic. This unclassified document from the Department of Defense really says it all. In 1999, this was our military assets, our ships, our planes, missiles, and satellites in the blue on the right. Now compare that to communist China in red on the left. Now, take a look at this graphic. This is the projected threat modernization for year 2025. It's unacceptable. This deal caps defense spending at a meager 1% for 2025. Secondly, for months, House Republicans have been pushing for a debt ceiling extension of 1 year for an amount of about $1.5 trillion. With the spending problem this nation has, I cannot support a two-year deal of $4 trillion or 13%. Continuing to allow Congress to spend at this ridiculous rate is unacceptable, and it must be stopped. To make matters worse, the administrative pay-as-you-go measure that was put in place is not enforceable. This oversight mechanism is intended to prevent the president from cutting trillion-dollar checks, but the bill text really allows for the director of the Office of Management and Budget, appointed by the president, to completely override this measure by providing a waiver and asserting that the spending is necessary for the agency to carry out its programs. You know as well as I do, that's just a loophole that will only allow for the unacceptable spending levels that we've seen for years. Lastly, when I came to Washington, I swore to you that I would fight to get rid of the new 87,000 IRS agents that will be doing nothing but harassing hardworking Americans like you. This legislation falls well short of fulfilling that promise. The Fiscal Responsibility Act only cuts $1.4 billion of the $80 billion that was allocated to hire those agents. Basically, it will hold them back for just 1 year. Well, given that Republicans barely control over one half of one third of the government, Speaker McCarthy did the best he could, and I truly appreciate his hard work and leadership. There are some good things in this bill, but for me, for us, it's not enough to offset that added $4 trillion in debt that we will pass on to our children and our grandchildren. The measure passed. We will not default. Leadership won't like my vote. But at the end of the day, I did not come here to please them or please a party. I came here to be the loudest, strongest, most consistent, unwavering voice for conservative values that I can be. That's what I promised I would do for you. I truly hope that this measure will end up changing the trajectory of our spending sickness in America. I truly hope that we can properly fund defense through the NDAA and the appropriations process. I truly hope that we can properly protect our farmers, feed our nation, and conserve God's great creation through the Farm Bill and the appropriations process. And I hope that this measure will give us all the leverage we need to do just that. But on principle, on my word, on my bond, on my honor, I could not in good conscience vote for a bill that adds $4 trillion in debt and ignores the will of we the people. God bless you.
All right. That's Mark Alford, 4th District Congressman, and I do respect his vote. It passed anyway with a lot of Democrats supporting it and a lot of Republicans supporting it as well. It made it through the Senate as well, and Joe Biden signed the bill. Now, there are some differences to this than what Joe Biden wanted. He wanted a clean debt ceiling bill, right?
Yeah, of course.
And he didn't get a clean debt ceiling bill. There are some mechanisms within this bill that might claw back some spending. But to Mark's point, the Republicans only control one half of one third of the government. They put some, you know, stop sticks in the road, if you will. And we're going to keep monitoring it. We're going to keep watching. We're going to keep talking about the debt. But this is going to be a major issue in 2024. And to his point about military spending, that graph that he showed, and another reason to get the video version of Dale Carter's America, it's staggering how China is ramping up their military. Now, America, historically, we talked about World War II at the beginning of this thing. We had a very weak military before World War II, and we ramped up this country. So we have the capability to ramp up when we need to. But it's still disturbing that, you know, China is going to go that far out ahead of us. You think they're going to attack us? I don't know. We're their best customer. Why would they?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I were to run for Congress, which I never would, but if I were to, my platform would be I will go to Washington and vote no on every single bill. I mean,
but we did claw back some spending, some money that is basically just sitting there that was appropriated for COVID. That comes back. So I mean, there's only so much that the Republicans can do. This ledge was coming up. McCarthy got things out of it that no one else has gotten. Even when Republicans have been in the White House, they've gotten clean debt ceiling bills. Okay, this is not just a Democrat problem.
Oh, 100%. And that's what frustrates me so much about it. And that's why I applaud Mark Alford for his vote no on this, because we have Republicans for generations now that have campaigned on cutting spending, campaigned on, you know, boosting the military, all the, you know, good old Republican talking points. And then they get to Congress and it's like, well, we only control one half of one third. There's only so much we can do. We can only cut $1.5 billion of the $80 billion for the new IRS agents. I'm sorry, you know, our hands are tied. And they just start making excuses. I don't want to hear excuses. Just vote. If you can't get what you want, then don't pass a bill. You control the purse. You control Congress.
Right.
That you need to get something. You know, use your leverage. Well, and they just don't.
And moving forward, we know that spending bills originate in the House of Representatives. So that should be a stop on some of this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Vote no. And I'm behind that 100%, because, you know, now you don't get them whining on the other side saying, well, we're going to default and we've never defaulted in the history of this country. Now, Mark made a point on another radio show that there was money in the Treasury to pay the interest on the debt. So we were not going to default. The interest money was going to be there to pay the interest on the debt, which is exploding as well.
And our fiscal situation, I mean, the whole idea of the Federal Reserve and the U.S. dollar is just not sustainable. The U.S. dollar is going to crash. The Federal Reserve is going to fail in a huge catastrophic way if we keep spending at this level. So why are we so scared of that? Why are we so scared of defaulting? Why are we so scared of not raising the debt limit for the billionth time, another $4 trillion? If we need to close the government, close the government. That's your job. Your job is to use your leverage to get what the American people want. So use that. That is a tool that Republicans have at their disposal. They're like, okay, if you're not going to cut all of the IRS agents, if you're not going to cut all of the spending to this level that we want, then I guess the government's going to close. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, McCarthy made another point that receipts to the government, you know, tax revenue coming to the government, is at a record high.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a cash influx problem. This is an outgo problem.
100%.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's our take on it. Salute Mark Alford for making a very difficult choice. Welcome to the world of Congress, where you're going to have to make difficult choices.
And the other thing on that, too, one more thing on the defaulting and the government closure, or whatever you want to call it. I don't think the American people really care. I mean, even this whole discussion that we've been having this last week in Congress about the debt ceiling and about passing a spending bill, like, what percent of Americans do you think that's at the top of their priority list, is like the next debt ceiling bill? That's what my vote. That's my single issue. I'm a single issue voter on the debt ceiling. Nobody cares.
I'll bet that number equates to where Chris Christie is in the polls.
Yeah, exactly. Right about now. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like nobody's paying attention. Nobody really cares that much. So why not do everything in your power to actually get the policy that you want? You know,
I agree. All right. See, we're agreeing a lot on this episode. There aren't any F-bombs. My blood pressure's in check. I mean, some people who look for that on these podcasts, they're going to be a little disappointed.
That's okay. We'll argue next time.
Yeah. Blood pressure is something important, I know, to Austin Watterson, the guy that runs Royal Roofing and Solar, because he had bypass surgery. He's doing great, by the way. I saw a post on Facebook where he got out and he walked over a mile. So once they get this done, especially in a younger guy like Austin, they're going to get you up and moving around. And he needs to be up and moving around because he's got a roof to replace. My roof. Just signed the contract on that yesterday, so hopefully that's going to be happening soon. Royal Roofing and Solar, 816-540-7057. Let Austin and his team take a look at your roof. You may need a new roof. And you want to go with somebody who's local, a family-owned company right there in Cass County. Not fly-by-night. He's going to take care of you. And they've really gotten into this whole solar thing. So if you're going to be in your house for a long time, why not go with solar if you can? Buy your utilities instead of leasing your utilities. Tax credits and grants for small rural business and ag producers as well. Royal Roofing and Solar. They've got part of the roof on my house. They did the dormer years ago, but now we're going to get rid of that hideous shake shingle roof and get a brand new roof from Royal Roofing and Solar. You can join me at 816-540-7057. Bob Watson, our State Farm agent, 816-229-7878. 7th and Main in Blue Springs. There's Bob's smiling face. He's got a great team of folks ready to handle all of your insurance needs at 7th and Main in Blue Springs, but he's licensed in both Missouri and Kansas, and he has a lot of folks on both sides of State Line Road. Auto, home, life, commercial insurance, get that boat insured. Summertime, there's a lot of activities going on, and you want to make sure you've got the right insurance for when things go to crap. When it goes to crap, you want a guy like Bob Watson taking that phone call because he speaks English, for one thing. 816-229-7878, Bob Watson, State Farm agent. Okay, let's visit Joey B's ice cream parlor. I didn't get any in D.C., and I'm ticked about it.
Oh, there we go.
My name is Joe Biden, and I love ice cream.
I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream.
Can Joe Biden eat ice cream?
Well, some people think that's all I do is eat ice cream.
Chocolate chip.
You've been with your mother. I can smell ice cream.
All right. So not to be confused with Comey, you got Congressman Comer, who is, what's it, House Intelligence Committee? I think that's right.
I don't know.
Or one of the big committees there. And he's got oversight on the FBI. And he's got Christopher Wray coming down to the Capitol. And it's like, we want to see this document on Joe Biden and the corruption that exists out there. He got the document. I don't think he got to keep it. And now he's going after Wray for contempt of Congress. So I put in here, the question I had before all this happened was bombshell or nothing burger. And he says to be continued, blah, 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 blah. We're in the blah, blah, blah phase. But from the beginning, when all this stuff started, what have I said, Kurt?
What have you said, Dale?
Follow the money.
Yeah, yeah.
Follow the money. Follow the money. What business are the Bidens in? You know, why do companies want to hire his crack-addicted, porn-addicted, prostitute-addicted, you know, brother's wife-addicted son, right?
Yeah.
Why do they want to hire him? Because of Joe Biden. And people are like, you know, what about Trump? You know, Jared Kushner, he's getting all these jobs and all that. We know the business that Donald Trump is in. That's a poor example because Donald Trump builds things all over the world, right? Puts his name right up there in gold letters. Mm-hmm. What business are the Bidens in? Why are countries paying millions of dollars through LLCs that filter down all the way through his family that ultimately get to the big guy because he gets his cut? I mean, you just smell it. It's almost like smelling ice cream on your mom, you know, when Joe's there. It's like, I smell ice cream. I smell corruption, don't you?
Oh, 100%, yeah. I mean,
so they're shielding for him. You feel?
Oh, yeah, they have been. I mean, everyone's been shielding for him. We have more than enough information already to suggest that this family is extremely corrupt and has very shady business dealings with Russia, Ukraine, China, and other countries. And so, I mean, it's like people don't care. You know, the American media doesn't care. Our establishment institutions don't care because they want to protect him because he's part of the establishment. So, but yeah, this new thing that you're talking about was, House Committee on Oversight and Accountability Chairman James Comer from Kentucky issued a statement after receiving a briefing from the FBI about the unclassified record alleging then Vice President Joe Biden engaged in a $5 million bribery scheme with a foreign national in exchange for certain actions. So it's kind of vague, but I guess, you know, we'll wait and see.
Well, this is a trusted informant of the FBI. Even Jamie Raskin on the other side admits that. But he's trying to throw in legalese, like this is like hearsay times two.
Right.
But we like this informant. He's done a lot of great things for the FBI. But in this case, it's hearsay.
Yeah. Well, it's like anything else. I mean, they trust the process when it goes in their favor, and they don't trust it when it doesn't. But
yeah,
you can see the full statement here. If you're watching on YouTube, you can pause it and read it for yourself.
Yeah. But. So, and then a Harvard-Harris poll came out that says a majority of the country thinks that our president is corrupt. I don't know that they care, but they think that he's corrupt. And so somebody had the temerity to ask about this in the briefing room. Now, John Kirby was there. Karine Jean-Pierre was there. And we may have to play this a couple of times. You may have to boost the audio just to hear how this came down. They ask the question, and then Kirby reacts.
53% of the public, including a fourth of Democrats, believe, quote, Joe Biden was involved with his son in an illegal influence peddling scheme. There's, of course, evidence that the president interacted with his relatives, associates from China, Mexico, Kazakhstan, Russia, and Ukraine. So what do you say to the majority of Americans who believe that the president is himself corrupt?
Wow. Okay. So Kirby says, wow. You hear that under his breath. But then Karine is off mic and she says, Jesus.
Right there.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, they're just...
Now let's watch a clip
okay,
see
go
if
ahead.
He has an answer.
The president has spoken to this. The president has spoken to this. And there's nothing to these claims.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing... Well, you knew what he was going to say.
I mean, it's such a classic tactic. And I'm guilty of this sometimes too, but when somebody makes an argument and you just laugh or like you respond with like a laugh emoji or something like that, it's like,
don't you wish though that he'd just come down there and say, yeah, you got us. He's corrupt. He took the bribe. He's corrupt. You know?
It's like, I can't believe you would say that. Wow. Well, how about answer the damn question?
Yeah.
So
but more people are asking. I mean, that tells me that there are cracks in the ice here.
Yeah.
And maybe people are curious. And maybe Democrats look at him and say, my God, he's 80 years old and he's about to be 81. And he's going to be, if he wins a second term, it'll be 86. And every day that we see him operating is the best it's going to be. It does not get better from here. By the way, let me throw this out, too. I made a note to mention something about this, because another thing that's on his plate, his ever-growing plate, is the Saudis have cut production again on oil. He's already raided the strategic reserve. What's his move now as gas prices are going to go up? And now the United States is in the role of being a buyer. We got to get our strategic reserve back up again.
Yeah.
We got China over there building everything. We've got to have a strategic reserve to rely on. Where are we at on that? So it's another thing. And then I'm throwing a lot of stuff in here, but the New York Times did a piece that talked about Biden's schedule. Did you see this?
No.
And Democrats are pissed, but it's the truth, right? He gets weekends off. He basically, you know, is doing like noon to four. Nothing before noon and a 4 o'clock lid.
I can't get through...
The paywall?
The paywall, but there's something from, I think, Fox reported on the...
What a gig!
New York Times.
What a gig. Don't
President
bother me
Biden's
before noon.
President Biden's officials reportedly leave him alone as often as they can on the weekends and tend to adjust his schedule to avoid tiring an aging president, according to the New York Times. The outlet reported that officials have said they try to leave the president alone on weekends and tend to schedule all public appearances between 12 p.m. and 4 p.m.
Yeah. Noon to 4. Noon to 4. And, you know, and then I'm going to Delaware, so don't bother me. And he's not campaigning. He's not campaigning at all.
Well, that's kind of the black pill on a lot of this stuff, like even the corruption, you know. I mean, people are curious about it. People want an investigation. Whether that's going to happen or not is a different story, but I think the sad reality is that even if there is an investigation, and even if these things like this $5 million quid pro quo, you know, illegal corruption end up being totally true, which some things like that already have been proven true, the people who are going to vote for him, I don't think are going to care. They're going to vote for him anyway, whether it be Trump or DeSantis, doesn't matter, because their whole idea is, you know, these people are bad, these people are racist, these people are homophobic, these people XYZ, And they're going to completely ignore all the corruption. They're going to ignore the energy prices. They're going to ignore inflation. They're going to ignore spending. And they're just going to hold their nose, go to the ballot box, and vote for Joe Biden. So it's like, does it even really matter? Yeah. I mean,
well, Tim Scott was on The View yesterday, and he just excoriated those ladies. I mean, it's too bad Joy Behar wasn't there, because she's been the one who's been on his ass the most. But, you know, he went after them with both barrels, you know, because they basically called him an Uncle Tom and all that. And I thought he held his own.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to pull that up right now. But
that's fine. But you can go look at that. Look for that clip, if you've not seen it already, of Senator Tim Scott running for president. He was on The View. Okay, the one clip that we've been saving until the end, this is what we call the kicker today. And, you know, I felt bad when I saw this, when I saw Joe Biden fall down, or had a fall. I think when you get to an age, you've had a fall. You don't fall down, right? There's an age, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Doris could help me with that, because he gets Medicare and all that. But you get to that point where you've had a fall.
Yeah, if you fall and it's not a big deal and you just get back up and you don't hurt yourself, you fell.
Yeah.
If you are old and you fall and you need help back up, and then, you know, you broke your hip, then you've had a fall and it's a serious deal.
By the way, we're a serious concussion away from Kamala Harris being the next president of the United States. Think about that. Now, somebody sent me this. I think it's made its rounds on the internet, but it's funny. Even Democrats ought to be able to laugh at this. This is the voice inside of Joe Biden's earpiece that's walking him through this. And this is why you want to watch this on video, wherever you can get Dale Carter's America on video. Roll this clip.
All right, Joe, let's see if you can even get to the damn mark this time. Remember, like we practice, walk around, go up and say hi to the general, and then get behind the podium.
Here comes Joey.
Yep, upstairs. Careful, careful. You know how you are with stairs. Okay, that podium, yes.
Yeah.
Walk forward, say hi to the general, and stop. And stop. There you go. Not that general. Oh, my God. Joe, go back to the podium. Joe, oh, my God, this is so awkward. These poor cadets. Joe, to the podium. Could you? Yeah, thank you. Direct him to the podium, please. Come on. There you go, old man. Get up there. No, the podium, you idiot! Where are you going? Oh, God. You know, I hope something happens to you later.
A few moments later.
All right, go ahead and walk off the stage now, Joe. Whoa! What happened? Did someone push you? Invisible stairs? Where? There's nothing there, Joe!
So he points at there's apparently a sandbag on the ground. So
yeah,
you know, the Biden team came out with a statement and was like, you know, there was a sandbag, like, you know, just making a bunch of excuses. But
yeah. And you hear him at the White House when he got back, I got sandbagged.
There's so many great memes. I mean, right here, the Babylon Bee has a story. You know, the Babylon Bee.
Right.
Report. Sandbag that tripped Biden on stage also participated in Jan 6 Capitol riot.
Oh my gosh. Well,
breaking, President Trump gives the Medal of Honor to the sandbag that tripped Biden.
I'm telling you, people, these are laugh or cry moments. You know, today on the podcast, instead of crying, we chose to laugh. So if you liked what you heard, you know, go see our sponsors, take care of them, and definitely come back next week, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Until then, for Kurt, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.